Hey everyone, welcome once again to Podcast In Death, the weekly podcast where we discuss the in-depth series of books by J.D. Robb. I am AJ.
I'm Jen.
And this is episode number 98 of Podcast In Death. And in this episode, we're going to talk about... This is actually Jen's idea of an
Yes.
What was your idea here?
Okay, so... You know, I don't know how many of you guys watch VR, but the podcast I listen to.
Just in case anybody is wondering,
just in case
Jen's an ER fan,
a big fan, okay. Yeah. So anyway, so I've been listening to a podcast, and they just covered "Be Still My Heart" and "All in the Family," which are the scenes where Lucy and Carter are stabbed and Lucy dies. So, and I just remember in the original run that being such a shocking, like, television moment, like, right. Nothing had ever been done on TV like that before. And it was just like, everybody was talking about it the next day. And I mean, it's just, yeah, it was nuts. So, I thought, you know, that might be kind of a fun topic for our show is, you know, right. what moments in the books just shocked you.
Yeah.
There
have been a couple for me, but
yeah,
I feel like this should be more because we got a lot of engagement.
We did.
So this should be very listener driven, I think. Before we go into it, though, can I say something?
Yeah.
Real quick.
Yeah,
so I'm listening to Romancing the Shelf.
Uh-huh.
And they were I forget now what they were talking about. Which book? Let me go back and look. Sorry, listeners. This is the boring part of the show. Dream Trilogy.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So the one I listened to today was Dream Trilogy Part 2.
Okay.
And there's one of the couple. So Dream Trilogy is set in Monterey, California.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one of the couples, one thing that happened at, you know, they get together and then the guy is, it's, I can't remember the
is it Byron or Bryson or.
Let me see if I can look at show notes.
I want to say it was Byron or something like that. That's not one of my favorite trilogies. So I haven't read that one in a long time.
I remember his last name was Fury.
No, that was the third book.
Yes.
That's Michael. Yeah.
Michael.
Laura and Michael. Yeah.
Right. Okay. So yeah, that's what they were talking about. Well, they, not Dream Trilogy Part 2 as far as second one, but they talked about
the got it.
Books. I think they talked about the first and second book, and then they talked about
that's
the
how
third.
Yeah, that's what they did with the in-depth ones too.
Right,
and,
right.
Irish one.
Yeah. So Michael was the, you know, the bad kid or, you know, the kid that nobody wanted Laura to end up with. And
yeah,
so they, of course, they end up getting together and then he thinks about it later and thinks, oh, I'm not good for her. And so he gives her the brush off and she gets upset and she runs out to the cliffs. Right.
Yeah.
And then, once they said this, I was like, because I know I read it, but at the time I didn't think about it. But when they said it this time, I was laughing so hard because she runs off to the cliffs.
Yeah.
And as it happens in California, so many, you know, there's a big earthquake and she falls off the cliffs.
Right. Of course.
And I was like, oh God. Okay. Well, okay.
I mean,
sure.
Sure.
Nora doesn't, you know, I mean, she doesn't live in California. So she doesn't understand. Like, Californians, first of all, most of earthquakes. Well, yeah. I mean, California, most of the earthquakes here are minor.
Right.
Yeah, they're not fall off the cliff earthquakes. Right. I feel like that would have to be a pretty big earthquake
to shake her off the cliff.
Yeah, because, and especially when you're on the ground, I mean, a lot of times you don't even feel them.
Right.
You'll feel one if you're, you know, on a second story.
Okay, yeah.
Sometimes you feel them more than others, you know, and sometimes they're rarely ever like knock you off your feet. That is a gigantic earthquake. that's it's going to knock somebody off their feet. That, you know, like it's destroying towns. That's right. That's the earthquake.
Yeah.
That she would have had to have had in order for it to knock her. Yeah, because Californians are, I mean, she would have been, if she was a typical Californian standing on that cliff and gone, oh, it's an earthquake.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm really mad at Michael. That's what would have happened, right?
Right.
But no, there's this earthquake and knocks her off the cliff. Like, it doesn't work that way, Nora.
So there you go. You found your beef with Nora. I have the medical stuff. You have earthquakes.
It was just funny when they said it. That's like, really and funny. Then there was an earthquake and knocks her off. And I just laughed.
That's awesome.
Anyway.
I love it. Good stuff.
It was.
I love those ladies. I need to listen to that episode. They're so funny.
They did a really good job.
We still need to get them on to talk about what they thought about the books.
Yes, but we keep, because Tara wants to do all the things and all the time.
I know.
Tara wants to do all the things all the time. Tara had a couple of days that she was like, hey, I can do it this day and this day.
Right.
But I think
they couldn't do it or something.
Heidi's on vacation, or she was going to be on vacation, or I don't know. Okay. Something like that. Okay. So we're going to have to find another opening, and it might be after June. Might be sometime in July, or we'll get them on.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
So
we got a lot of stuff coming down the pipe. So
between
Susan Erickson and the 100th episode and all that good stuff.
Yeah. So anyway, so this topic.
Yeah.
Like I said, we got a lot of engagement on that. Mostly on Facebook. There was a big discussion on Facebook.
Yeah, we got a lot on Twitter too, actually.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, because we don't get a lot on Twitter usually, but we got quite a bit.
Good.
Mostly from Dana, of course.
Right. Which, I was right in that once that episode was edited, it was a really good episode. It was a topic.
Yeah.
It was a great discussion. It was fun. It was very interesting.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah. So, okay. So, do we want to
and her still coming in shadow was the best part. That was so funny.
Well, they didn't see that part, but.
No, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dana showed up in shadow. It was great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she was on one of those news
shows,
true crime shows, and they blacked her out. Yeah. It was funny.
Our international woman of mystery. Oh, good stuff.
So anyway, so what do we hear from the listeners on this?
From
topic?
The listeners. So Claire says Amaryllis's death. That was one of mine as well.
That's
the first time she really killed off not a main character, but a secondary character.
Well,
I mean, we didn't know her well, but we knew her enough.
Right.
That, we knew she was Morris's girlfriend. And, she's had that.
Yeah.
We're finding out.
I think the shocking part of it was that she had just introduced her as Morris's girlfriend.
Right.
So they were just getting together. And so you were like, oh, okay, they're going to be together for a while.
Yeah.
And it was like two books later.
Yeah.
She was gone. And you're like, wow.
Yeah. Yep. So
Nora, you have it in for Morris or something. I don't know.
She does. What the hell?
Man.
What's wrong with you, Nora? Morris is amazing.
She'll find him another woman.
She'll find him another one. All right. And then she also says, we're finding out about his mother and also the way he shut out Eve. So shocked at the way he spoke to her. I agree with that. The Jess Barrow effect on Rourke. Well, Jess Barrow's a dick. We established that.
Yes.
The way Eve tore apart Chaz in ceremony. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure I'll have more when I think about it. Chris says the closet scene in Rapture. Yep.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking.
Yep. Peabody's injury and visions. You brought that one up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was very shocking.
Yep. McNabb's impurity. Crack's sister being a victim.
Yeah, that was very sad.
Mm-hmm. And Rourke shutting out Eve in portrait. Amaryllis. Mm-hmm. And the 40-year span of serial rape and brotherhood.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what one that Veronica brings this one up? The Killer and Innocent. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's out of all the killers, I think when, you know, we've talked about that, that's probably the most shocking and the creepiest by far.
It is the creepiest.
Yeah. I mean,
kids that kill are creepy.
Well, and she's just so like nonchalant about it.
Yeah.
You know, there was no remorse at all.
And not only that, finding out that she's the killer, but finding out that she killed her younger brother was like shocking also. Like,
yeah.
What? Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Crazy.
Also, the dead cat.
Yes. The dead cat was a big one.
That was brutal. That was. Nora does not kill animals.
No.
Ever.
And the way she did it, I mean, I don't know about you, but my heart was like,
yeah,
kind of stopped for a minute. Like,
yeah, yeah.
Galahad.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, we knew it wasn't going to actually be Galahad.
Right. But for that second,
we all had that the same reaction Eve did. Like, right. Oh my God, that's my cat, you know?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So, the eyes and visions. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know if that was shocking, but it was really creepy.
It was creepy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, same with Portrait, the creepy photos of the victims.
Yeah.
The clones in Origin, specifically the first time we meet the three Averils. Eve's mother.
Yeah, that was the other one that
that's the other one you brought up.
Kind of shocked me when she realized this woman was her mother.
Yeah.
And that was like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
Because you were really expecting never to see either of Eve's parents.
Right.
Even though.
Yeah. And Nora has said a million times that, you know, her father really is truly dead. He's most sincerely dead.
Right. But and she never left has that said open.
One way or another.
Right.
About her mom. So.
Right. So it makes sense that she would, you know, bring her back at some point.
Right.
But, you know, I don't think any of us were expecting that.
No, not at all. And then finding out who killed Rourke's dad, which,
I kind of suspected that from the beginning.
I didn't necessarily suspect it, but I wasn't surprised.
Right.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like when it's revealed, I'm just like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
That tracks. You know? Yeah.
Like I didn't.
Because we see Somerset is kind of just this old dude that is, you know, I mean. The way that Eve always like describes him is like he's bony and like
a
wimp and kind of. But back in those days, we don't know what he was like back then. Right. He could have been a complete badass, and we just don't know.
I mean, I think he was.
Well, if he killed Patrick Rourke,
I mean, he had to have.
Yeah,
and I'm sure he got the drop on him. I mean, he'd had to have. I would imagine. Well, But
maybe not. Maybe he wanted Patrick Rourke to know who killed him.
Maybe. Yeah. You know, could be.
Have some words like, you know, how fucking dare you with this boy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Book Dragon says vengeance. First learning Rourke was a murderer, but we learned about that in Innocent. Or not Innocent. Immortal.
Do we?
Yeah. Yeah, he tells Eve that he killed the men that did what they did to Marlena. He doesn't go into detail.
Okay.
But finding out, I think, the ways
that he killed them was
kind of, it was like, dude.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
That's not okay. Like, that is some sick shit.
That's some sick shit, Rourke.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Let's see. Portrait, Magnet being Rourke's mother, and also finding out Somerset killed Patrick.
Yeah,
Visions.
Rourke finding his real mother was kind of shocking too.
Yeah,
because I don't think that's not something that was ever.
No, it was never really even hinted. It was never really discussed. Like he never really mentioned his mother. You know, it was
Well, he mentioned Meg and
but mostly just that, you know, she left when he was a kid and never looked back.
And we all just assumed like, and I wonder if Nora just like assume that, or whether she knew all along, like,
yeah, I don't know.
I was that she was going to do that storyline or pretty soon after she started writing the series.
Yeah, I don't know. That's
another
question
that we
when we
need
get
to
her
ask,
on the show.
When we get her on the show, that
one of these days we're going to get her.
Look, we're becoming a kind of a big deal.
We are kind of a big deal. We are number 139 on somebody's list.
On somebody's list of
somebody's
podcasts
list of
about
trending
books.
Podcasts. So look at us. I was sad not to see Romance in the Shelf on there, though. They should be on there, too. They're our sister podcast.
Not it depends on how many people listen. You know, I mean, it's.
Yeah. No, I know.
I feel like this was just we've had a couple of listeners or several who have been binging the show. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So maybe just all of those listeners binging the show at one time.
That,
you know, kind of put us up
pop
there.
Our numbers up. Yeah.
I do feel like we've gotten more and more people, especially from Audible.
Yeah.
Because
Audible
more and more
started
people.
Promoting us, which is cool.
Yeah. Or recommending us to people that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Thanks, Audible.
Hey, thanks, guys. Yeah, because we've gotten a lot of comments, like in Facebook and on Twitter even, that, hey, I just found you guys, and I'm so excited, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, it's great. Yeah, Book Dragon also mentions Coltrane. She did not see that one coming. I thought Morris was heading to a happy ever after when that relationship started. So did we.
Poor Morris.
So did we. We're so sad. New York to Dallas, the Stella storyline.
Yeah.
And Faithless in Death, the misogyny, homophobia, racism, human trafficking were not all that shocking. However, for some reason, the imprisonment in order to force impregnation on women in order to maintain racial purity was.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
Rosalia says Amaryllis, Peabody, Eve losing her badge.
Yeah, that was pretty shocking. And apparently what shouldn't have happened.
Yeah, it shouldn't have happened. She should have just told them to go fuck themselves. Finding out that Rourke is a cold murderer.
Mm-hmm.
The sharpshooter killer. Yeah, that's another one that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crack's sister.
Yeah.
Rochelle's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And learning Stella's story. Let's see, Lynn. So, pretty much everybody mentions Coltrane.
And
Andy's
pretty
mother.
Shocking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And the sweeper and obsession being the murderer.
Right.
The poor cat in shadows. Wasn't really surprised it wasn't Galahad, trusting Nora not to kill him off. But I am one of those, does the dog or cat die, softies? Let all the humans die as long as the pets survive. That is so me. That is so me.
Right?
With movies. Like, I will never watch a movie again if they kill a dog. I'm like, fuck this movie. It sucks.
Yeah, fuck this movie. Fuck this TV
fuck
show.
This movie. Like, seriously. Like, Signs. Remember that movie? The M. Night Shyamalan movie?
Yes.
They killed a dog in that. And I'm like, fuck it. I'm never watching this again. Screw you. Like, you don't kill a dog. And go outside and get the dog. Come on. Don't leave him out there for the aliens to kill. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Jeez. I would go out and risk being murdered by aliens to save my dog. Okay? Now, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, Finn. I would save you from aliens. Okay. Sue says, I love all of these. I think mine has to be the baby toss and calculated.
That was pretty shocking.
That was pretty shocking.
I'm probably to Eve, most of all.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Must have been really scary for Eve and the baby as well. And of course, the mother. I would have liked to kill anybody who picked up my baby and tossed it in the air like that. Yep, agreed.
Yeah.
Peabody overhearing the conversation in the shower and treachery.
Yeah, I don't know if that's shocking, but yeah, that was a really tense. That was a really tense scene. I mean, when the guy said the guy that she was talking to started opening up the stalls.
Yeah,
then you're just like, oh, what's gonna happen?
Oh my god,
we're so good at that.
I cannot wait until we get to that one.
Yeah,
that's gonna be a fun one. We're coming up on some good ones. So yeah. We've got Innocent coming down the pipe pretty soon. We've got Born.
Well, Memory's the next one.
Memory's next. Yeah. And then Treachery's not too far down the line. So, yeah. We're getting there.
Yeah.
Kiri says the beginning of Obsession, where there's just the description of the victim before we know who it is. I was terrified it was Rio for like 3 pages. And I was too. I remember that, reading that. I was like, oh my God, it's Rio. Oh my God.
I do kind of think. Yeah. I remember that.
I remember that. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then it was confirmed to be the other blonde lawyer from Rapture. Actually, all the victims in that one were kind of shocking because they were so random until you understood the logic.
Right.
Behind the selection, because they were just one-off characters that we had never seen since the book they were in initially, which is true.
Right. Yeah.
And I was so glad that she didn't manage to get to Hastings, because we love us some Hastings, man.
We do.
We love us some Hastings. So, yeah. So that's all we got on Facebook. What do we got on Instagram? Anything?
Yeah. Elizabeth said, when Anne dies in loyalty.
Oh, yeah.
That one was extremely shocking. I mean, mm-hmm. I was like, how dare she kill her off?
Dare she? Damn it, Nora. What's wrong with you?
Jamie's illustrations, thinking Galahad is dead. And Michelle K is like, I freaked out a bit for that one. And Jamie's illustration says, right, it's not just me. No, we all freaked out a little bit.
We all freaked out a little bit. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
NFBC 2003 says, when Dr. Mira was kidnapped.
Yes. Which, yeah. Yep.
But you know what? Then why are you... Why did she stay there in the house? Why didn't she leave with everyone else?
Right. I mean, yeah, come on. What's wrong with you, Mira?
Then, of course, somebody else says, huh? When? In which book? And she said, Midnight and Death.
Yeah.
Michelle K says, Innocent and Death, when Eve and Rourke are not getting along due to Magdalena's stir up trouble. Magdalena's return to stir up trouble.
Bitch.
Yeah, that initial scene where Magdalena comes walking in the room, and the way Nora describes Rourke looking at her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah,
I was like,
"Fuck you, dude!
Rourke, what are you doing?
Yeah. This is not okay, man. Not okay.
Although for the rest of it, you're thinking that it's Eve's fault."
Little of both, but
it is a little of both.
It's a little of both, but yeah. I just, like I said when we talked about this before, I'm very much the person that automatically is going to argue against the popular consensus. And everybody was trashing Rourke after that book came out. And like, rightfully so, but nobody was bothering to go, wait a minute. Let's look at how Eve handled this.
Yeah.
You know, she walked out on him. I don't know how many times when he tried to talk to her about it. She's pissed off because he wasn't reading her fucking mind. And it's just like, which, yeah, he usually can, but this time he didn't. And so you can't be mad at him for that.
Right.
You've got to tell him why you're upset. You can't just walk away.
But on the other hand, I mean, how much of that, of his, like, well, you know, indignance about Eve walking away, how much of that was him kind of deflecting? Like, no,
I think that was a little of
knowing
that
in the back of his mind that,
if
I was, I probably would do the same thing if I was her. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
oh yeah, totally. But I mean, just, both of them were idiots in that book. Okay. Both.
Yeah.
Probably Rourke a little more than Eve. I will concede that, but
Eve was just running away, but you should stay and talk about your problem. But I totally understand about not wanting to talk to somebody about your problem.
Well, I get it. Like maybe the first time, but I mean, it's like 3 times that she does it. And then she gets in the car and she bitches to Peabody about how he's not paying attention to her and he's not listening to her and he doesn't know and he doesn't, can't read her mind. And it's just like, good Lord, woman. Jesus.
Yeah. Well, he does a lot of like, well, you know me better than that. It's like, well, yes, but that's not, you're still not addressing not my feelings. Right. And that's, I guess that's yeah. what, I mean, we'll talk about all this when it comes up.
Right, right, that's right.
A, I mean, he wasn't really addressing her feelings. He was just expecting her
but she wasn't telling him her feelings.
He understood what her feelings were. Let's be honest. He did understand what her feelings were.
I mean, I think he saw it more as jealousy, though. He didn't see it for what it really
was.
Well,
yes, but even then, it's, you know.
Yeah.
His whole thing was, she should just trust me. It's like, well, yes, well, she should, I mean, but, you know.
He's not wrong, but yeah. You've also got to take care of it, dude.
Yeah.
Like, if your wife doesn't want you seeing this person, just don't see her. Like, don't be a dick. It's not hard.
Yeah. Conrad, I think it's Conrad. In New York to Dallas, when Eve discovers that a suspect is her mother. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Another vote for Stella.
Again, yeah. That whole thing was shot like, what? Like, what?
What? Yeah. Yep.
That's her mother.
Yeah, that scene where she arrests her is just, you're like, what? And I like, Jesus.
Yeah. Wow.
Crazy.
Yeah. Louise Ann Bateman says the death of Louise, Nadine's assistant, mainly because we share a name. But that was kind of shocking, that moment.
Yeah.
SM Frank says the death of Coltrane.
Mm-hmm.
Eve's mother revelation, not as much a surprise. Nora dropped some clues in the book as how she did it. Raylene Straffo.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah. I think there were some clues along the way, but I also think, it's one of those things where you don't want to believe that. And you're like,
right.
No, I can't. My mind is going the wrong way. I know.
Right.
That can't be what she's doing here. But yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was. And her Linus book says, as above, I think Anne's death shocked me the most.
Mm-hmm.
We were getting to know the character. She announced her pregnancy and then bang, the shock. And of course, Magdalena's appearance when Eve saw the look. I felt so much for her.
Rourke.
Dummy.
Dumbass.
Leafling Bags says when Eve's mother's revealed. The other grim girl says definitely finding out the quiet births were clones. I think Origin was the best written. Oh, Kate Beckett, our friend Kate Beckett. Most definitely the reveal of the little girl as the killer in Innocence. And KJ Larson says obsession with the bomb in the bullpen. That's a good one.
Yes.
She says, I feel like nothing is shocking because anything is possible.
I mean, yeah.
She's not wrong.
Not wrong.
And I think that's all I got for Insta.
For Twitter, we've got Emily says Mira's capture, Peabody's attack, and the three Avrils.
Yeah.
Dana wrote out the entire scene from New York to Dallas for us.
Thanks, Dana.
When Sylvia Prentice turns out to be Stella, Eve's mother, in New York to Dallas, the woman looked at her with such fierce, bright hate. Fuck you. You've got nothing. You are nothing. Eve's knees went loose, nearly buckled as the edges of her vision grayed and wavered. The heat rolled up away from her toes to the crown of her head. It coated her skin in a thin layer of sweat, and she knew. Lieutenant Dallas, Anna Lynn took Eve's arm. You should sit down. You took a pretty hard knock. I know you, Eve managed, her voice low and harsh. With shock, I know you. You don't know shit, the woman's eyes rolled back. She'd have hit the street in a dead faint if Eve hadn't yanked her up again. I know you. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
How horrible would that have been?
My God. Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah.
And Texas Betty says, when Rourke agreed to not go after the Homeland guys at all, not even financially, I expected something short of death, but something.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah, that is interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know that I expected him to really do anything, but I think we talked about that when we talked about Divided, that we kind of thought, you know, maybe he did eventually go do something.
Oh, but yeah, he did something.
Yeah, you know he did.
He fucked with them in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, like I said, and I'm pretty sure when we did that episode, we talked about that. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I think that's all we've got.
Not a whole lot of really shocking moments in this series, but when she does a shocking moment, mm-hmm. it's pretty good. It's pretty shocking.
It is. Yep.
Yeah.
For sure.
You know.
Yeah.
So,
and we had some good ones brought up. I'm surprised more people didn't bring up the closet scene in Rapture. That one
was pretty shocking.
That was pretty shocking. It was a big deal. Like, I remember that being a big topic even years after the book came out on the message boards. So
about like Webster making a move on Eve first time?
Mm-hmm.
I remember being a little bit shocked by it. Like, what? Mm-hmm. What, Webster, what are you doing?
What are you doing, dude? What's the matter with you? What the hell?
And then Rourke coming in at that point.
In his house. Like, you don't make a move on a married woman in her house with her husband in the next room.
Yeah.
For God's sakes. What the fuck is wrong with you, dude? Like, you don't make a move on a married woman, period. But you especially don't do it in his house. That's not okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Webster. Dumbass. You deserve the ass kicking.
He really did.
He really did.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So yeah. What else can we say about this topic?
What else can we say?
Pretty much exhausted it.
I mean, we kind of have. But,
I mean, you know, the thing is, our Podvelas were supposed to be really short. And
they really were,
They and just grew and grew. So
and
now we're used to like, well, this has got to stretch for another hour.
Short.
Like, you know.
Yeah. What the hell? We can't do that.
But we can. We can.
Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We still got podcast business to get through and all that good stuff. So. Yeah.
So.
But yeah, no, I think, we had some good ones come up and we agree with just about all of them.
And we really appreciate all of the feedback on this question.
Yes. We appreciate you guys, period. You're the best.
Yeah.
We love you.
You are the best.
You're wonderful.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to us and our bullshit.
And making us number 139 under books.
139.
In that one website's list of trending.
Did you see podcasts. Dana's post in the book in the group?
Yeah.
Tara, I'm still waiting for you.
Yeah. And Tara's saying that tracks.
That tracks. I like the bingo card suggestions that we got. Those were pretty funny.
Yeah. Well, let's do podcast business. How about
you? Yep, let's do that.
So, yeah, no new patrons this week, but we had a couple of threads on Facebook that you were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. We did.
You know, the funny thing is that we did talk about doing bingo cards.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think Sue originally brought it up because she was like, she's like, we can't do a drinking game because we'd be dead. And I'm like, yeah, don't do that. That would be a bad idea.
That would be a bad idea.
So bingo cards would be a much safer option, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah.
So we have talked about doing a trial run of our 2-year anniversary episode.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe we do that and.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Have bingo cards. Or,
yeah. Yeah. Literature.
Yeah.
Don't be a dick, Rourke. I think we said that already in this episode.
We
see, there's a spare for you. Oh, good Lord.
So we have gotten a couple of emails.
Okay.
And there was one specifically that I think I missed. We had Christina send us an email about the candy thief. Do you remember that?
Okay. that episode? That was a long time ago.
Yeah, see, sorry, it's been a couple of weeks. She sent an email, and I should have read it already, but I, you know, it got lost in all the emails that I've got.
You know.
She sent an email about our episode 48, where we say, fuck off, Biff. And she says, I was doing a reread and or listen to the series and found your podcast on Audible. I listened to the book reviews until I got caught up with you, Origin. Then I listened to the topic pods, Insult Wars, Gifts, Soundtrack. And now I'm listening to We Review the Reviews. That's an interesting way to do it. That's
kind of a fun way to do it, actually. I like it.
On a previous podcast, you said listeners could comment on prior episodes. Yay! I called the number after I listened to the gift episode. Did I play her?
I think so.
Okay.
Pretty sure you did.
My comments on this episode. Apparently, two-star reviewer Mark Mike Biff also reads the Eve Duncan Forensic Faced Reconstructionist series by Johansson. Do you remember a guy started out calling Eve Dallas and then switched to saying Eve Duncan?
That's right. And we were like,
what is wrong with this guy?
Yeah.
So maybe maybe she's correct.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. Maybe his computer defaulted to Duncan because he'd just given his latest read in that series a 2-star review. Or maybe he read them back to back and merged, mangled the two stories and the two Eves in his crusty addled brain.
Crusty addled brain, I love it.
I started with Imitation and read others as I found them. Thrift store in garage sale shopper. Mm-hmm. Obsession made me curious about the stories of the victims had been involved in. I had not read any of them. So I started with Naked and did my first read through. One half books, one half Kindle. I like a bargain too, AJ. And so I added the Audible books. Good for you.
There you go.
The perps were similar in Seduction and Indulgence, bored, spoiled, rich friends. Both plots involved a contest, but the crimes and the motivation behind the crimes are absolutely different. But if there were a ghostwriter repeating a plot and villains, wouldn't the later story be the copy by the faux Rob? I don't know. We had a review that said, I gave this it was for Seduction. She gave it a bad rating because it was the same as Indulgence. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Right. Shouldn't you give Indulgence the bad rating?
Right.
I don't know. Yeah. Right. Didn't make sense to us. So many readers must gloss over not only opening paragraphs that mention the month or season and year, and later paragraphs that reference the You Are Here point in Eve and Rourke's relationship timeline in every book. Yes, they do.
They do.
You're correct. Yeah.
Yep.
Or the cover blurb that says futuristic thrillers.
Right. You know. Yeah.
What do some readers need? For Nora to add character comment or thought to emphasize the You Are Here point on Eve's trauma recovery timeline in every book? Chris from San Antonio.
Love it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because obviously people can't track Eve's recovery.
No.
It seems obvious to me.
Yeah.
When a major thing happens that furthers her recovery. Like what we're going to have in memory. But when we reviewed Abandoned and she had the dream about herself on the playground as a child. And herself as an adult.
Right.
Telling her, like, you know.
Yes.
It's going to be a few years before you're out, but you're going to be okay.
Yeah. Right.
And go ahead and play on the playground.
You know? Yeah.
And
yeah.
I felt like that was a huge growth point for Eve. So.
Yeah.
No, I don't know. People are strange. Yeah.
People are stupid.
What are you going to do?
I hate people. Sarah's not here, so we'll.
Thanks.
We'll steal her line.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, we just got a message yesterday from Maria Johnson, and it says, oh my God, I love you guys. This podcast is so hilarious. Love the way you guys review the books. I'm up to episode 8, and I'm laughing my ass off. Glad I found this on Facebook, even though you're not on Facebook. So we are. So
we are now.
AJ, I love Susan Erickson's voice on the characters. She does an amazing job. Yes, she does. I'm a big fan of Nora Roberts, J.D. Robb. Listen to all the in-depth series. You guys are doing an awesome job. Keep up the great work. So thanks. Thanks, Maria. So we got a new voicemail.
Oh.
And the voicemail is actually from our new friend, Kate Beckett.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. So let me see if I can get it up and I'll play it and then you can react to it. And there's an Ask Jen.
Okay.
Hi, ladies. It's Kate Beckett listening in from Dallas, Texas. I was just listening to the episode for Judgment and Death as I am listening through all of the episodes, anticipating the 100th episode that we're about to celebrate. And I finally had a reason to call in because as I was listening to y'all recount Judgment and Death, y'all touched on one scene where Eve walks in to Rourke's office and notes that he looks tired while he's on a call with a business something or other, and how that is something that is so very rare that we see from Rourke. And it got me thinking, and this is going to be an Ask Jen, so Jen, get ready. What is the book that has the scene where Eve gets up in the morning and is like, come on, Rourke, time to start the day. Why are you still in bed? That's so rare. And he's like, shut up. I want to sleep more. And again, him wanting to sleep more and be in bed even after she gets up is something so rare. So I don't know if my research skills could find the book. So I call upon Jen to do that for me. Anyway, I can't wait to listen more. And hopefully I can get through with the rest of the episodes before the 100th episode comes around. But can't wait to listen more. Talk to you later. Bye.
You have been summoned.
Well, Kate, I actually know the answer to this because it's one of my favorite scenes. That's in Holiday and Death. It's towards the end. Yeah. Yep. That is in Holiday and Death.
Okay, hang on. Because I've got my books. I got my books right here.
Oh, look at you.
Holiday and Death. And you're saying it's toward the end?
Toward the, yeah. Like, maybe... like not the last morning, but the morning before that.
Okay. So yeah, so they do the thing the night before.
Uh huh.
And it's saying she'd put a memory into their box. He thought now he put a wish there. One night, or the few hours left in it, she would sleep in peace. So he held her until she slipped away into dreamless slumber and was holding her still when she woke. They were wrapped around each other, her head nestled into the curve of his shoulder. Sometime during the night, he'd undressed and slipped them both into bed. She lay still a moment, studying his face. It seemed impossibly beautiful in the soft light. Strong lines, long, thick lashes, that dreamy poet's mouth. She had an itch to stroke his hair, the silky sweep of it, but her arms were pinned. She kissed him instead lightly, as much to thank him as to rouse him enough to allow her to wiggle free. But his hold merely tightened. And he says, another minute. Her brows lifted. His voice was thick, slurry, and his eyes stayed closed. You're tired. God, yes. She pursed her lips. You're never tired. I am now. Quiet down. It made her chuckle. That edge of sleepy crossness in his tone. Stay in bed a while. Damn right. I have to get up. She pried an arm free and did stroke his hair. Go back to sleep. I would if you'd shut up.
Shut up.
She laughed, then slithered free. Rourke? Oh, Christ, he rolled in defense and buried his face in the pillow. What? I love you. He turned his head, heavy eyes slitting open with a lazy gleam that had her juices flowing. That, she thought, was the magic of him, that he could make her yearn for sex after what she'd seen, what she'd experienced. And he says, well, then, come back here. I can probably manage to stay awake long enough. And she says, later. His response was a grunt as he pushed his face back into the pillow.
So, yeah. Yep. I love that scene. It's so great.
Good job, Jen.
Yeah, thanks. I feel like I'm going to lose my cred because I'm not as good with the more recent books as I am with the earlier ones.
Well, you will be after we
finish. We reread them, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's
doing
true.
Our reread. At the end of the podcast, when we end the podcast, then you'll be
like, true.
Then we'll end the podcast and you won't have to answer questions anymore.
That's true. That's the point. But then I'm sure, find some other way to carry on.
Yeah, we'll have to figure out some way to...
Hopefully we'll have more books, so...
For another 10 years, we're saying.
Yeah, at least.
We're hoping for another 10 years.
I mean, come on, Nora, you can do it.
Yeah.
You got it, Dina.
You can do it.
You can do it, Nora. You got it, Dina. We promise.
Anyway, we really appreciate you and really all of you out there. I don't know how many times we can say it. It's just the feedback we've gotten has been amazing, and we just really, really appreciate it.
Yep, we do so much. You guys are the best.
Yeah. Okay, so you know how to get a hold of us. All of our social medias. Search for Podcasts and Death on everywhere.
We'll get the Discord figured out one of these days. Maybe. We were talking about that on the briefing room.
Yeah, we might get the Discord, you know, just in case Twitter implodes, but it probably won't. But
it probably won't. We'll see.
Or you can call the number. Number is 205-476-2753, and that spells out 205 for Rourke. And that is it.
That's it.
For Podcast and Death. So for Podcast and Death, this is AJ.
This is Jen.
And we'll see you next week, guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Podcast in Death. If you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a 5-star review on Apple iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We would greatly appreciate it. Podcast in Death is hosted by Amy Ryan, Jen Terpstra, and Tara Corkery, and is edited and produced by Amy Ryan. The opinions expressed on this show are for entertainment purposes only and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the in-death fandom at large. Podcast in Death is not in any way affiliated with Nora Roberts, Berkeley, Penguin Publishing Group, or St. Martin's Press. Our theme song is Justice Never Sleeps by Cosmo and is available on Shutterstock.com. This episode and all of our previous episodes are available at podcastindeath.com. Have something to say? You can email us at show@podcastindeath.com or find us on social media by searching for Podcast in Death on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Also, you can call us and leave a message at 205-476-2753. That spells out 205-4-Rourke. Thanks again for listening. And in the immortal words of Brian Kelly, fucking slouch at you.